Welcome to Right to Life of Michigan's Life Beat. I'm your host today, Chris Gast, and joining me today is Just Anna Visser. Anna, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. No Grace today. We thought, since it's the end of the year, hope everyone had a Merry Christmas, that we would do a year in review. Because it was a slightly busy and historic year for the state of Michigan and America as a whole. Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So let's go just month by month and just recount to you everything that happened this year. It is a lot. Although a lot of stuff on the same two topics, Roe versus Wade and the proposal three.
We had a main focus this year, I would say.
So let's start off with something that doesn't deal with either of those. So back in January, you may recall that there is a show called Let It Rip on TV in Detroit. It's a pretty interesting show. They purposely just try to rile up people and get good debates going. It's kind of a fun show. Didn't have a very fun moment when noted Michigan Satanist. There's something that's never been said in the... Well, we don't think it's funny. You don't even remember, do you?
Yes, I remember this.
Oh, okay. Jex Blackmore said, we don't know if it's true or not, but did apparently take the abortion pill live on Let It Rip to demonstrate how easy, apparently, abortion is. Which is terribly ironic because for one of her previous abortions, and yes, she said multiple abortions, she live blogged it several years ago, and she was frankly honest about how awful the abortion pill can really be. So it's kind of interesting that years later she decided to say, oh, it's so easy, I did it right there, right, live on TV. And the poor, you know, the person representing the pro-life side, Rebecca Kiesling, was just kind of
shocked.
Yeah, well, what do you say?
I think her response was exactly what you would say in that moment. She was saying about, told her about the abortion pill reversal and, you know.
It was an ominous start to 2022.
It was foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing. So the other main event in January was the ballot proposal to repeal our law was originally filed.
January 7th.
Because in December, just weeks before, they had the oral arguments in the Dobbs case, and it became crystal clear that Roe versus Wade was going to be significantly harmed or overturned. February was a pretty not noteworthy month. So you think about all those social media posts in February, it didn't matter because nothing happened.
How do you say that month?
February. What?
It just sounds weird.
Well, there's an R in there. Growing up in the Gast household, I can only take my dad saying February so many times to make fun of it that I just can't do it anymore. So February just, it's February.
Sure. But you live in Michigan.
Nothing happened, but it's very important that we talk about it. Okay, March was actually a very big month because President Biden had set his sights on eliminating the Hyde Amendment, which prevents most abortions from being taxpayer-funded in America. We were successful despite having nothing in Congress in terms of pro-life majorities, but we were able to keep the Hyde Amendment in the federal budget in March. That was a big deal because, as we know, when abortions are taxpayer-funded, there are a lot more of them. In April, not content just to work on their ballot proposal to change the Michigan Constitution, pro-abortion forces did multiple lawsuits against our 1931 abortion ban. So Governor Whitmer and Planned Parenthood strangely both kind of took two separate tacks against it, but
in April. I would like to know behind the scenes of all of that.
Yeah, they didn't seem very coordinated. That's the sad thing about just the whole year as we go through. I mean, like, nothing they did seemed particularly well run or well thought out, but it didn't matter because they just had the people in the right places and they had gobs of money, mm-hmm. you know? It's like a great football team beats, you know, a not-so-great football team just on talent, even though they made bad play calls and bad decisions. And it's frustrating.
Yeah.
In May, so the lawsuits continued. We filed briefs against that, asking the courts to do the right thing and uphold the law, which would have been the judicially correct thing. And then we also introduced a ban on telemedicine abortions because we saw in the pandemic that they were really moving towards handing out abortion pills without any real consultation or examination. And we saw in England, like, just how terrible that had been because they have, you know, more accurate statistics than we do and more central statistics. Really bad stuff. Wasn't going to get anywhere because of Governor Whitmer, sadly. But the biggest event in May that kind of changed the trajectory of the year, and we think, you know, everything Proposal 3 was, the Dobbs decision was leaked. I remember I was in my house, my new house, just new in. I was, like, sitting on my old couch in my new house, and got the news, and phone calls were just coming left and right, and texts, and did you hear this? And that was exciting.
Yes. Except it was the day before Legislative Day, which is an event that we have every year. And it's pretty busy. So that was a little chaotic. And, you know, we still don't know anything about that leak.
Yeah, that's interesting. The Chief Justice apparently was livid and was going to investigate, but nothing came of it. Right. So did A, were the tracks just covered too well by the person who did it?
I can't imagine they would do a sloppy job with that.
Okay. Hopefully, if you're a clerk at the Supreme Court, you're, like, somewhat intelligent.
Right.
Hopefully. Although to listen to some of the Supreme Court justices talk, that might not necessarily be the case. In any case, or B, it could have been that they really didn't do much to investigate. Or C, it was actually one of the justices and it's just such an uncomfortable thing that they don't want to admit it.
I mean, I've seen theories that they're all like a little family, so even if they all knew that one of them did it, they would never out them.
That could be. I like the fact that the Judicial Crisis Network, which, you know, is pro-life and other conservative issues, whatever, but they have, like, every day they, like, post, like,
it's been this many days.
You know, yeah. It's
and nothing's happened.
I'm going to be 75 and in a retirement home, and they're still going to be tweeting that. It's been, you know, 10,000 days since the leak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Do you think we'll ever know?
I don't think so.
Someone will admit it down the road. Like, if it was a clerk and they're afraid of it impacting once they become untouchable in terms of, like, career tenure or track or popularity, then they would release it.
Could you get in trouble for that?
Maybe. I don't think so. You get fired. You might get disbarred. Which, if you're an aspiring lawyer, I don't think so.
Well, there's certainly, I'm sure they had to sign contracts that say you can't tell anyone what we talk about.
Sure. But if I were them, I would just do it. And then the other side, when your side has billionaires that just, you know, you say jump and they scream how high in enthusiasm. Like, if I did that, I wouldn't, but I mean, I would say that, yeah, it was me, and I would get all the talk shows, and I would get a cushy job somewhere, and I would be just fine.
Yeah.
The other side does a decent job of, like, how do I want to put it? Taking care of their own.
Protecting them.
Yeah. No matter how horrible the things that they do, whether or not you think that's a good or bad thing. So, in June, a couple big items. You know, we endorsed Tudor Dixon. We were really hoping that, you know, she could be the one to beat Governor Whitmer. And as we saw in the debate, she was a great candidate. Just no one else wanted to jump on board the train and help her compete with Governor Whitmer's ginormous out-of-state cash grab. We also saw, you know, the abortion stats were released for the year, and we saw an increase. I mean, this has been the story of Gretchen Whitmer, is she loves abortion. It's her top issue, and so we should not be shocked that abortion stats, even before Proposal 3, were already on a big increase under her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then the big event in June, obviously, it was spoiled because of the leak in earlier leak, but Roe versus Wade was actually overturned, and Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. It yes. seems like an afterthought, you know?
Well, yeah. I remember you talking about how people were going to freak out, and because of the leak, it was probably a smaller blow to them.
Yeah, it was very anticlimactic.
Not in terms of pregnancy resource centers, but...
Right, we'll get to that in a second.
Everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, I envision that there would be anticipation, there would be, the Supreme Court would be flooded with people, and then, the decision would be announced, and everyone would be shocked, and our side would be happy, and the other side would be mad, and there would be all these fights. But, the decision was leaked, and then it was like this weird month of, are they going to do it? When's the decision coming? Mm-hmm. Is it going to get delayed? And then it kind of happened. It was like, yep, Roe versus Wade's overturned.
Yeah.
And we're moving on.
People did move on pretty quickly.
I know.
Like within a couple of days.
Like, I'm still surprised. Like, the year was so busy. I don't know. Maybe I haven't had time to emotionally process it, but it's like, yep, Roe's overturned.
I think because our year has been so busy, for other states, they're probably still glowing that happened and talking about it. And for us, it kind of just got shoved aside because of what was going on with Proposal 3.
Yeah, I saw it. Florida had a huge drop in abortion numbers, which is good because Florida, those numbers are way up there. They're a very populous state. Texas, Texas was interesting because of their heartbeat law. They were able to trick into effect for a few months beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like, we were able to get, like, a trial run, which is so interesting, I think, especially, too, as they try to get all these states to vote on, Constitution. They keep going around saying, well, if we don't do this, women are going to die because they can't get treatment for miscarriages and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And how many women have died in Texas so far, Anna?
Zero.
Zero, that we know of.
Yes.
And out of how many tens of millions, how many millions of women of reproductive age have been, pregnant, and probably not millions, hundreds of thousands at this point. So.
I mean, we knew that. We knew that that was...
We knew that, but people...
We knew that women were not going to die, but...
Right, but apparently people still haven't caught on yet.
No.
It's interesting.
It's not talked about enough.
No, because, the other side will just make these claims that, oh, women are going to die if they don't, and then the other, they don't talk about Texas as having an abortion ban anymore.
Right.
And if they do, it's about, oh, this woman had to drive to Oklahoma and it's another state and it's terrible. But yeah.
Yeah.
They're not like, wow, abortion, there's thousands of more babies alive. Here's a happy mom who would have had an abortion otherwise.
Right. That doesn't fit their narrative.
No. Does not fit it at all. Yeah, it was just kind of a shock. You know, I was expecting a bigger backlash.
I think if the leak hadn't happened, there probably would have been.
I was expecting a much bigger backlash. However, there has been a backlash of sorts. So in June, the terrorist group, Jane's Revenge, mm-hmm. I don't think it's really an organized group. It's just a bunch of copycat people, but have started, you know, they were doing vandalism of churches and pregnancy centers. They have not attacked any actual, like,
person.
Pro-life advocacy organizations. Well, so we talked about, was it last week? It was a long mm-hmm. week ago. But we talked about they went after the home of a board member of a pregnancy center. I would call that a personal attack.
Yeah.
They haven't physically harmed a person yet.
Right.
But
just threatening.
And two,
and
like
vandalism.
The response, like you spray paint a building is one thing, but like if you were like breaking someone's window at a house, you know, like I talked about last week, that's a level of not good. That could go both ways, you know. Oh, I'm just a vandal. Ha, I'm breaking their front door. Oh, that person interpreted it as me breaking in, and oh, I'm dead now.
Even just going to their house is alarming.
It is.
But I guess people got used to that with the Supreme Court justices.
Right, which was encouraged by the Biden administration, which is illegal.
Right.
But, you know, laws are so 20th century, Anna. We don't do laws anymore.
No.
We do media narratives. So protest, illegal protests in front of Supreme Court, okay, you know. Firebombing, pregnancy help center, okay. Saying, you know, mean tweet, bad. Must be banned and, you know.
Right.
Just, you know, for 2023, you got to think about, you know, what's the landscape of what can you do, what can't you do? Can you firebomb a center that hands out free diapers? Yes, you can, and you can get away with it. Can you say something mean on Twitter about someone? No, the FBI is coming after you. So, if you live in England and you're just silently praying in your head and you're standing to a certain distance to an abortion facility, they'll arrest you. So, you know,
right.
we live in a really petty, annoying police state. It's not even dramatic. It's just petty. So, well, they started up in June, and it's been since June multiple attacks, you know, actual firebombings of centers, now attacking people's personal homes. In Michigan, we saw a church vandalized. You know, that attack on a home happened here. There actually was an attack on someone's house in Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
They went to attack they attacked the Jackson Right to Life office. There was an attack on a pro-life organization. I think Jackson Right to Life has been the only one. But that it was also Congressman Tim Walberg's office, since they share, you know, they're right next to each other in that little building that they're in. So they attacked the United States Congressman's office with impunity after getting their GPS wrong and spray painting some poor random person's house across the street. Because
they're
stupid.
Really smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in July, despite I don't want to say, it's really hard to run a decline to sign campaign for a petition drive, but we try to get information out there. But the other side turned in their signatures to get Proposal 3 on the ballot in July. We were able to delay them significantly throughout the year because of their missteps. They had to start late. They were not doing well in signatures before the Dobbs decision leaked. So
they were doing well at all. If that had not happened, I don't think they would have gotten their signatures.
That could be the case. But it did happen, and they were able to capitalize on that, and they poured in $8 million to collect signatures, which is basically you can run an entire ballot campaign on $8 million, not just the signature collection part. Like, they paid a lot of money to do that. Like, a third of
the... I just feel like that should not be allowed.
It is... Well, yeah, it is gross. Like, me personally, I don't like this system in Michigan where you can, like... you can amend the Constitution with a majority vote, which means it's not really a Constitution.
You can basically buy the vote.
It's just a set of special laws. You know, like, a Constitution is supposed to be something that there is broad consensus, you know, 60%, two-thirds majority to change.
Right.
You know, the amending the U.S. Constitution is very hard because it's supposed to be the rules of the game, and you're not supposed to be able to just change the rules. But, you know, we did that in Michigan, and you can do that, yeah. Like, you can bus in these people from out of state, and you can pay them millions of dollars to just go around and collect signatures from people who don't really read what they're signing, you know, aren't really told exactly what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, you know, circulating these signatures, I mean, they're not, you know, they're not evil henchmen, but they're just mercenaries. They just get paid. They don't really care what they're doing. They can't even explain it when you, every time I've had a paid circulator come up to me and I've, like, actually engage them in conversation, like, they're beyond clueless. They're like, I don't know. Just, you know, sign
it's fine. Just making money.
Yeah, they're just making money. I don't know. The other side whines about money in politics so much, but they bought a constitutional amendment with $8 million to get it on the ballot.
That's not even...
And then another $40 million to tell people it's not going to do things that it is going to do.
Right.
Yeah. In August, you know, we tried to challenge the ballot proposal signatures because, you know, when we did the checks, it was sloppy signatures too. Like, really shady stuff. Like, half of the signatures on a page were initials.
Like, someone just went in after and initialed all of them.
Which, I mean, so the prime way to do petition forgery in the state is you can sit eight people around a table and you pass around the petition, so it's all different handwriting.
Right.
But and then some of these, like, all the handwriting on the entire petition looked the same. But they had so many signatures, instead of going that route, we went the route of the fact that the text of the law on the back was not legible. We were right legally, but the Michigan Supreme Court eventually ruled that, we'll just fudge it. Doesn't matter. We'll just retroactively add those spaces in where,
yep,
you know, wherever.
They just did it. They just did it.
And in August, you know, our 1931 law was also blocked in court. Blocked by Judge Gleischer first from the Court of Claims. She should not have done that. Improper. And then, you know, the Oakland judge, Judge Jacob Cunningham, mm-hmm. I'm forgetting his first name, blocked it. Very pro-abortion judges.
Yep.
Gleischer definitely should have recused herself. You know, it didn't matter. Process, democracy, rule of law.
They would have found another one.
All this stuff, it doesn't matter. It was all just, you know.
The law was in place for 7 hours? 6 hours.
That's right. It was at one point in place and in effect for a few hours.
5 hours, something like that.
Yeah, but that, you know, they called up, phone a judge, and, you know, their judges do whatever they want because they own them. Yeah. Or it's not even owning them. It's just an ideological, you know, thing, so they just do it. Like the Jane's Revenge thing. Like, they don't need to have an organization. They just do copycats. So...
They know that there's enough crazy people out there that will
right.
Do it.
Well, like we talked about with who's in charge of the pro-life and, you know, pro-abortion movements, no one's really in charge. In charge, you know. Mm-hmm. It's...
No one's giving orders.
Right. And then after August, you know, September, when our challenge to signatures failed, the campaign really began, and then pretty much the rest of the year was all Proposal 3. And it's going to be that way, I think, into 2023 with dealing with the effects of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're sick of hearing about Proposal 3, then don't listen to our podcast next year, because we're going to keep reminding voters that, you know, you voted for this, but you were told it was going to do this, and that wasn't true at all. And so what you actually voted for was all this terrible stuff that's going to happen over the coming years as they, you know, hack away at our laws in the courts, in by executive order, by non-enforcement, and all these things.
We have to keep reminding people because they forget very quickly.
People do forget. You know, as someone who tries to, you know, be honest but remembers, you know, promises from, like, years ago, it frustrates me that people do, like, get burned so easily and then they just forget, like, ah.
Yeah.
You know?
Which, yeah. How do you forget that? I don't know.
Beats I don't me. Know. But that's human. That's human nature in 2023.
Well, hopefully the parents don't forget.
Right. They were pretty adamant about the won't change parental consent at all thing. So yep. We'll see how that goes. I think we know how that's going to go.
Well, we know. Yeah. But people don't listen to that. Don't take our word for it.
Right. Well, I mean, overall, I mean, 2022, in Michigan, bad. But overall, in America, for the pro-life movement, 2022 was our best year ever.
Yes.
In terms of Roe versus Wade being overturned and in many states, lives saved. It's going to take a couple years for us to get statistics on 2022 and 2023 and to see just what the impact of Roe being overturned is. But I'm going to guess tens, if not hundreds of thousands of, even though abortions are starting to trend up again, tens, if not hundreds of thousands of lives saved. And that's a big deal.
It is.
You know, pro-life laws have saved a lot of lives in Michigan, and, you know, they're still saving lives. I will say that, you know, the one thing that will keep some of our laws from being challenged yet is the perception that if they do it, people will get really mad, like parental consent and whatnot. So really the only thing holding up a lot of these laws in Michigan are going to be the unwillingness of the other side to challenge it. Although they aren't going to enforce anything anyway.
Right.
But stuff like tax-funded abortions, you know, they have the ability to come at any of these at any time and get them, but will they?
They probably will slowly, so you don't realize what's happening.
That's probably their goal, but mm-hmm. We'll see. And as they go to other states, too, in 2023 and 2024 and try to, you know, do these constitutional amendments, it'll be a clear picture. You know, they can only run so long on saying the life of the mother exception doesn't exist. Or well, can they? Can they
the
run
media
indefinitely?
Can spin it however they want. They can say, well, we don't need parental consent. It's actually pretty bad for women. And, you know, here's our study on it.
Sure. Well, any predictions for the next year?
No. I have no idea.
I have no idea anymore myself. So whatever the case may be, we'll be here every week with another Life Beat and as a pro-life movement, not just in Michigan, but across the country, we will continue fighting until we achieve ultimate victory. And if that takes another 50 years to do it, then so be it. The unborn are worth it.
Yes.
All right. That's all we have for this year for LifeFeed. Join us again next year. Have a wonderful